Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hello.
Hello.
And welcome to Stalking Time for the Moon Boys. With me, David Baddiel.
And me, Tim Hinks.
Best we've ever done.
And no, you brilliant. Thought... You did it in a very soft way then.
No, but you well, thought like... you'd screwed it up by saying hello at the same time as me, but we said it exactly at the same time.
Yeah.
Which sounded like we'd practiced it.
Try again.
I mean, I think you were trying to screw it up in a comedy way.
No, I think you looked at me, I thought, is it me? I thought I was I thought it was you were sort of in a sense saying, can you start?
No, but we just said it hello together. Yeah. I mean, I think it's almost textbook. If any podcasters out there, junior podcasters, a lot of whom I think probably listen to this, that's how you should intro a podcast.
But you did it in a very late night radio.
It's only
way.
Taken us 170 episodes to get there.
You did it in a very soft, like, it's 2 a.m.
Slightly smoky.
Yeah, I like that.
That's good. We've now slightly ruined it by talking about it for.
I know, but
too long.
It's a moment, isn't it?
Welcome back, listeners. We're back in the shed after we weren't in the shed for a bit. It's lovely in the shed. Now, both of us feel that, let's be honest, Story Time of the Moon Boys kind of peaked in the last episode. We should possibly end it forever in the last episode.
Not only is this the last show of the tour, this is the last show we'll ever do.
Yeah, but we're not going to do that because we just like doing it, even though I think we've accepted.
Also, the audience would be incredibly silent. So, okay, fine. Yeah. Sure. That's what you think.
No, but the first 5 minutes of the last episode, which got kind of more and more extreme and shouty, and then I broke a glass. You're trying to recreate it.
I'm pouring a glass of water.
Okay. We both feel that it was maybe the as far as you can take the art of talking bollocks podcasting.
I don't think I've ever been involved in anything that that was the peak, right?
Yeah. Well, you texted me to say that.
Yeah, no, I didn't. I said that might be the best thing I've ever done.
Anyway, I think there are one or two things, though, that we still need to clear up about last week's episode.
Right.
I mean, one of the things is, I've just seen this, is I am impressed by the way that listeners, almost anything that we mention, listeners will go and find out stuff about
it.
So one of the things we mentioned on that episode, or was that episode, the previous episode? I think it was that episode, was that... on David Bowie Gets Annoyed, the slightly disappointing montage of David Bowie not getting annoyed. Yeah. The only time he does get annoyed is when he's talking to Jules Holland on Later because he says, I've got some viewing planned tonight.
That's right,
And I said, I wonder what it was. So David of Stourbridge says, regarding what DB was said to watch after the Later recording, I've done a little digging.
Wow.
The show was broadcast on Friday, 18th October 2002. Later is, at least now, recorded on the previous Tuesday...
Okay.
Which would be 15th of October.
This is amazing.
He says continued, because he runs out of Twitter space. Then his second tweet says, on that night, the recording of Later, BBC One showed Haunted, a James Herbert adaptation. But this is interesting. Whilst earlier, the edition of Top of the Pops 2 on BBC Two featured David Bowie. So what he's saying is
he might have watched himself.
Well, he's trying to suggest what was on. I mean, Bowie might have had all sorts of things. By 2002, we're already, as you know, in a multi-channel environment.
Yeah.
He could have
it's
had...
good to give that a mention.
Yeah. He could have had a DVD that he was watching.
Yeah.
He could have just been talking about going home and watching Imam, you know, sing something to him.
Right.
Because he just says a night's viewing. But if we stick just to the BBC, because he hasn't gone as far as ITV. He's got all that far and he hasn't checked out ITV or Channel 4.
Right.
He says, BBC One showed Haunted, a James Herbert adaptation, and Top of the Pops 2, which was on, I didn't realise it was on already in 2002, on BBC 2 featured David Bowie. I mean, it would have featured someone else as well.
So, yeah. that's almost like a sort of outtake from Line of Duty, that forensic. Yeah, incredible, isn't it, how he's put that together?
That is forensic. And in the same way, slightly disappointing by the end.
A bit.
Yeah. Apart from that, it's mainly people saying things like poo bags and plops, laughing emoji, crying emoji, crying emoji. And someone else called Brian says, plot, plop, had me laughing out loud on a run this morning, not runs. So yeah, that's the kind of level that we're inspiring.
He might show how far that joke will stretch. Indeed. Not quite that far.
Not quite that far, yeah.
But we appreciate it.
Yeah. There was something else I wanted to bring up. Let's just play again the bit from Breaking Glass that we discussed the other day. Let's just play it again because we've got new info about this.
Oh, right. Wow.
Oh, no, the Breaking Glass movie with Hazel O'Connor has come up.
Who was a sort of Bowie? I mean, there's probably a Hazel... They probably met, right, Hazel O'Connor and Bowie, because she sang in that...
checking it.
She sang as if she'd listened to Scary Monsters a lot, didn't
definitely.
You?
Definitely. I mean, a lot of people did at the time.
Yeah, it was that sort of 80s...
Hazel O'Connor on cutting David Bowie's hair.
What?
She tells his story twice. Right. Cutting David Bowie's hair and refusing his offer to...
I wonder what.
Well, we're going to have to find out now.
So Are you at school? Remember that?
This isn't what I was going to play.
Right.
Okay, here we go. Let's see what Hazel says.
And one thing we left out was you didn't meet David Bowie, and he offered to write some songs for Breaking Glass, and you turned him down. He said, no.
It was already written on. Thank you, David. Very kind.
How can you turn down David Bowie writing the songs?
How do you? Because I was a spunky little monkey at that time. He comes out and Tony takes us into his office, says, says David and it's Hazel, and Hazel's just done a film called Breaking Glass. David said, "Oh, Breaking Glass, did they name it after my song?" That's when I went, no. And then he said, "You know, I could write some songs for you if you want for the film." And I thought, no. Says, "We've already recorded them, actually, but thank you." Then number three question was, "You cut Tony's hair, don't you?" "Yes." "Will you give me a haircut?" And I was in seventh heaven.
The thing I take away from that is you don't really know where you are with Hazel O'Connor, because she treads a line where she's incredibly dismissive of him, but also saying he's a hero.
Yeah, I think also you don't know where you are because I have a memory of her. Right. As a kind of, you know, quite edgy punk,
kind of
temptress woman. Yeah. And here, I'm afraid, she's a bit like a woman who's come up to you in the post office.
Right.
And you're thinking, I don't know when she's going to stop this anecdote.
Well, she said she'd never heard of Breaking Glass, which seems
that
odd.
That seems odd.
Because that was 3 years ago. Also, Nick Lowe did that song, Breaking, and she said, no, we made up the title. Breaking Glass is not a title she's particularly made up, right?
Well, it's a film.
Right.
It's a film. Was it also a song of hers?
I don't think I don't think she did the song, but
what was Breaking Glass the film anyway?
Breaking Glass was this film. I can't remember. I mean, I remember it being around, and was it slightly sci-fi? I mean,
possibly.
It wasn't like a.
You know what I always think of when people say Hazel O'Connor?
Hmm.
Spill my tea, oh silly me.
Being.
That's the line. Didn't do it very well.
Oh, is that in the song?
Yeah, it's from that.
That beautiful song. She did one very beautiful song.
Will
right?
you?
Will you? That's right. Yeah.
Will you?
That's a
lovely
song.
But before
song.
She gets into. Is it Will You? Yeah. It's getting kind of late night.
Yeah.
All that stuff. I thought that I spill my tea. Oh, silly me.
That's right. Yeah. But that was a very beautiful song that Tracy Smith, who really had a thing about at school, was really into.
Tracy Smith? Yeah. Did you go off with Tracy Smith?
No. No,
why?
Absolutely. Because she wasn't remotely interested. I think I might have said this. I did go out with Celeste Osmaston.
No, you haven't said that. Right. I remember that because it's a ridiculous name.
Well, Celeste was
Celeste what?
Celeste Osmaston, who was... really beautiful when I was about sort of 14.
Yeah, she was nearly in the Osmonds, but...
Well, don't speak ill of her, because she was absolutely beautiful.
It's not speaking ill of her, so she was nearly in the Osmonds.
That's true.
How is that an insult?
Well, why... What do you,
I
you
mean,
know,
it's...
You know the swings at Whisper Green?
The swings where?
Swings at Whisper Green.
In your home village.
Village in Sussex.
I don't, but yeah, I can imagine them. And,
basically,
and Celia Osmond.
Celeste Osmondson.
Celeste
I went up to her. I wonder where she's now.
How old were you then?
14.
Right.
And I went up to her on the swings. And my recollection is I asked her out, which seems a bit bold for me. But anyway, I asked her out and she said yes.
Mm.
And then I came away thinking, great, I'm going out with Celeste Osmondson. And nothing happened.
Oh.
I mean, literally didn't see. I mean,
how
we
old
didn't,
was Celeste?
She was... how old?
Yeah. How old was Celeste?
She was...
67?
52, 53,
like
somewhere around there, early 50s.
Yeah.
And we never spoke of it again.
Oh.
So
it reminds me of when I first
probably still going out with her, isn't
he? Attempted to cop off with ladies. Right. I mainly did it through a Jewish youth group called Habonim. Have I mentioned this before? I think I'm possibly have. There was a thing at Habonim where if you wanted to get off with a girl, you sort of had to ask them formally by saying, okay, "Will you go with me?"
Okay.
Like not even out.
Who there was set no, this rule?
As I don't in, remember. Right. There was no out really to go because you were just on camps or in places in North London.
Right, right.
So there was nowhere to go out. So you just said, will you go with me?
Yeah.
And it took me ages and ages to ask Avril Cowan, I think it was. And and she just said, oh, I wish you hadn't asked me that.
Really?
And it really, you know, was not great for me at the time.
That's so much worse than no, isn't it?
Yeah.
I wish you hadn't asked me that.
Yeah, I know. That's it's just sort of like what, you know, you say when you're an adult and it's like really, really devastating something from your history that someone's asked you.
But that implies it's more than just a no.
Yeah, exactly.
You're not going to want to hear what I really think about that. And now you've put me in a position where I've got to tell you, isn't it?
I wish you hadn't asked me that. Said. But, you know.
Well,
it's all right, I'm over it now.
No, it's good, it's good.
Just to go back to... let me just get the breaking glass thing.
It's so nice not to be at school and be involved in any of that stuff, isn't it? I mean, I know it was a long time ago.
Really is a long
time
ago.
It's so nice to be early... What am I now? 51. What are you? 50?
54.
Right.
It's not that nice because, you know, death is around the corner.
Yeah, but...
You know, Breaking Glass by Barrett. I'm just going to play it again because we've had some new info about this. Let's see if we can actually play a bit. Okay, so we had a long discussion about what that might be, and both of us thought it might be some kind of pentangle style thing, and that's correct, as it turns out. Dolly told me that Bowie was drawing pentangles. Yeah, my daughter, because he was convinced right about that time that, and hang on, I need to get it up, get the exact phrase up here. In a search for some true spirit around about that time, Barry became obsessed with Aleister Crowley. He became a paranoid recluse in LA, drawing pentagrams on walls and carpets to conjure demons, throwing associates' wives, I haven't heard about this bit, out of recording sessions, and this was the bit that I really wanted to get to, because he was convinced they were witches plotting to steal his semen to create the Antichrist on the witches' Sabbath.
Wow, that's
and the likelihood
specific.
Of accuracy, the NME records, is 99%. The line, don't look at the carpet, I drew something awful on it, refers to this time.
What's the 1% of doubt?
I don't know.
The NME
it's from Sense of Doubt on Heroes. That's what they've about.
They've worked out that's... So it's about witches stealing his semen.
Well, yeah,
how?
Well, that's a good question, isn't
right.
it?
Right.
Because if you were worried about someone stealing your semen, I think just like wearing your trousers done up.
Oh, I see what you mean.
Is probably enough to stop it being stolen rather than a pentagram on the floor.
I see what you're saying. It's not, as a prophylactic, it's poor. You're saying.
Is it, yes. I hadn't thought of it in terms of prophylaxia.
I think that what he's.
Prophylactic just means stopping you reproducing. Isn't it specifically about reproducing?
Oh, yes, no, you're quite right. Yes, no, good point. Yeah. It's a sort of, but he's probably going through that thing where he's sleeping with lots of women. And then...
Well, he's a recluse at this time, it says.
But somehow in his self-loathing or whatever it is, he's thinking, I've slept with a witch.
Yes.
Isn't it? Slightly misogynist.
Yes.
Do you see what I mean? It's like thinking they're all witches and they're...
Yes, all of them witches, which is a line from Rosemary's Baby.
Is that right?
Yeah. But
and he's drawing a pentangle as a way of
of stopping
what making sure it doesn't
get into his pants and extract his semen,
right?
And then create the Antichrist.
I
mean, there's quite a lot of stuff to be worried about there, isn't there? Because not only are they worried that his semen's going to be stolen, but that they're going to use his semen to create the Antichrist. So, at some level, Bowie must think that he is the son of that his son is going to be the devil.
I see what you're saying.
That he is the devil. Isn't the devil the one who gives birth to the Antichrist?
The devil gives birth to an Antichrist?
Yeah, isn't that what happens?
Okay, maybe, I don't
know. Yeah, in The Omen.
Right.
In The Omen, Sam, that Australian bloke.
Yeah, Sam O'Neill? Sam Neill?
Sam Neill, not O'Neill, that's Martin O'Neill, who manages Nottingham Forest, you're thinking of. Sam Neill is the devil.
Right.
And he has a baby at the end of it. And that baby is going to be the Antichrist.
Okay, so that's how that's genuinely what happens.
So if you're listening, Duncan, yeah. I've always assumed Duncan isn't this.
Oh, thing. He might be the son of the...
But, I think that round about this time,
right.
David thought that his
son...
Seed.
His seed
was going to spawn the devil.
Right. What do you do when you eat a boiled egg?
That's a bit of a left turn.
It's not, though. But what do you do?
Thought it might not be.
What do you do when you eat a boiled egg? In an egg cup.
Yeah, I shatter. Is that the right word? Cut off the egg. Cut off the top of the egg.
Yeah.
I don't actually. Generally, I hit it with a spoon.
Okay, and then you
to create a crack in the egg.
Right.
That I can then peel the eggshell and eat it.
That's so do you take the whole eggshell off?
No, just the top of it. Obviously.
So you eat the egg.
I always have soldiers as well.
That seems for your insecurity. That seems
why. So, no, I don't mean soldiers. I mean toast soldiers rather than
security
men with machine guns.
So take me to the point where you've eaten the egg.
Really? Why?
No, as in, is that such a big thing to ask?
Okay, I've eaten the egg.
You've eaten the egg.
Now what?
Well, that's what I'm asking. What happens now?
Well, I often read the paper, a cup of tea.
That's what I thought you were going to say. What I do, and still do, I don't have that many boiled eggs at all.
No, it's not I quite like a boiled egg.
I'm not, different question. Yeah. I rarely have them, but when I have them, I know I do this because people have commented on it. I take the teaspoon and I put a hole in the bottom.
Do you?
Of the eggshell.
Why?
Like push down, and that's because
You're worried about witches stealing your
when
semen.
I was younger, I was told that witches use the eggshells as boats. It's hard to tell you this without it sounding, but this is what I was told. And they use them to travel across the sea.
Really?
Okay. It's the first time I've thought about how small those witches are. But anyway,
it's becoming clear to me why Celeste Oz Ormondroyd decided not to go out with you. Just went yes and immediately ran away.
The eggshell guys asked me out. I did what you told me. They said yes and ran.
I ran away.
And I still do that. But like anyone with sort of whether you're anxious about things, I think it's not a big thing to tap a hole in it.
No.
Why not
belt and braces?
Absolutely belt and braces. Yeah. No reason not to.
Although, this is a while back this happened. You're 51, you said earlier.
Yeah, no, that's true.
Well, you're talking about an older conception of witches, aren't you?
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey everyone, I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently. Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Whereas now, I think of witches as sort of Harry Potter.
Oh, yeah.
Actually, I've never really said that about Harry Potter. Are you a Harry Potter fan, Belle? I've looked at you as the young person in the room.
No, I'm not really, actually.
No. Because there's something I don't understand about Harry Potter, which is like there's wizards, right? Okay. And wizards, and all of them are wizards, all the big ones. But does that mean the women are witches or not?
What do you mean?
Well, are they called witches?
Harry Potter?
Hermione, is she a witch?
Oh, I see what you mean.
I know she's a mudblood.
Right.
But that aside, is she a witch or
she's magic powers? You mean
she's a woman with magic powers, and they're wizards, and wizards are associated in my mind with witches.
Yes,
but did J.K. and I know J.K.
Right? Did she?
I can ask her. Did she balk at the idea of calling them witches, right. Trying to reclaim witches as a word.
But I would have said if you did that, because I think there's a sort of, there is again misogyny thing, isn't it?
Women, yeah, of course.
As witches is a dark
it is,
thing.
But that's what I'm saying is you could reclaim
right.
it. So anyway.
But anyway, so that's
so
what,
we've cleared that up now.
But I suppose,
as David should have done. Yeah. The terrible mess on the carpet. Is yeah. that's why
he's
he
right
did
about
it.
Witches, and there I is can
one
relate
other
to that.
Tiny element of this. Mm. I know you've got some stuff that you want
well,
to.
No, it's not.
No, I want to hear the stuff. There's one other which I hadn't heard before.
Right.
Which is, I just heard that he drew the pentagrams because of the witches and his semen.
Yeah.
But it says here that he was throwing associates' wives
right,
out
yeah,
of recording
yeah.
sessions.
Right.
And so I wonder who they were.
Yeah, who would that be? And that makes him a really terrifying individual, doesn't it, at that point?
In 77?
Yeah, I
who?
Guess. Who? What? It'd be like Brian Eno's wife. Is it that sort of thing? Is that what you mean?
Yeah. yeah. Is it Brian Eno? Is it Mrs. Eno?
Mrs. Eno was thrown out.
yeah.
Sorry, what was he throwing them out on the?
Out of recording session. He was convinced they were witches.
Fuck.
Yeah. I mean, all he needed to do was
yeah.
put a little hole in his egg. And there's no way they could have got there if they were on the other side of the ocean. No way they could have got there.
Also, they didn't even do that to Yoko, did they? I mean, that's a really full-on thing to do, isn't it?
It's just a Yoko is a witch.
Well, what I'm saying is, like, if you want to throw associates' wives, yeah. I mean,
Yoko
how...
does look a little bit like an egg. Like a porn
I'm sure that's
a little
right.
bit.
Really?
I can imagine...
Everyone looks a bit like an egg.
Well, you do, obviously. yeah. But I just think you could paint a boiled egg Yoko... Like, not so much now.
But you look a bit like an egg.
Well, we all look like an egg,
that's
you're
what
right.
I'm saying.
You're right, we all look like an egg. But, and I have painted myself on an egg.
right.
but I just think Yoko, I can imagine it, and John, if there's two boiled
she
eggs.
She sounds like an egg.
What do you mean? Eggs don't make noises.
Yoko is all
I'm... oh, yes, that's... I knew, you're right. You know what?
That's the most
you know
obvious thing to
you
say.
You know what's terrible about that?
Is that what you mean?
What is terrible about that is that I knew there was a yolk-egg connection, and I didn't make it. I just thought
you
I
said the thing that isn't true that she
no,
looks
well, that's,
like an egg.
Well, yeah, that's because if I could plead innocence, guilty, whatever the word is
right.
in this situation, I knew there was a joke to do with Yoko and eggs, but it didn't come to me that it was to do with yolk.
It's not that
so,
she looks like.
So
one.
I just said she looks like an egg.
It's have you heard Yoko's new albumen? It's
brilliant.
Probably the full
brilliant.
Joke.
Brilliant. Oh, Yoko. John said when he yeah. When he's well, unfortunately broke his egg. So anyway,
I've got. Do you want to hear about?
We haven't really talked about Hazel O'Connor, by the way, saying that
no,
she,
but,
she cut Tony Visconti's and Bowie's hair.
But she's saying she was a hairdresser, is what she's saying.
Not a hairdresser.
No, I think she.
Oh, she was a hairdresser.
She said she in that thing. You cut Tony's hair. Would you cut mine?
Yeah, but doesn't mean she's a hairdresser.
Oh, I see. I assume that's. Yeah, maybe
no.
not.
No.
Okay.
I think she was just working with Tony Visconti.
Right.
Cut his hair in kind of yeah, a crazy, yeah. punky way.
Right, right. There's a there's another slightly disappointing story about Bowie, which I saw in the Sunday Times.
Okay, is this because when we discussed this podcast, we talked about having Rhys Thomas on it, my friend Rhys Thomas,
right.
who does Brian Pern. And he might be on it next week or the week
right.
after. But you said, no, but I've got lots of interesting Bowie stuff just for you and me
well,
to share. So what is that? Because I haven't heard it so far.
Right. Well, I think what we were trying to do, and we will do, is talk about his live albums.
Yeah, we were thinking
right?
about doing that.
I think
yeah.
we should do that, because yeah. you've got a controversial view about his live albums.
Yeah, okay, we'll come back to that.
No, you don't think you've got a controversial view?
Well, I don't know why it's controversial, but we'll come back
okay,
to it.
Okay, well, I can tell you why in
okay.
a bit. But did you see the Moby interviews? So Moby, the...
Pop star.
Yeah,
DJ, pop star,
right,
vegan.
Has got a book out.
I've met Moby.
Right, well... That's
looks
interesting
a bit like
you say that. He looks a bit like an egg, though, doesn't he?
And an egg.
He's got a book out.
Yeah, I know, about his sort of
and it's
debauchery.
Absolutely mental. When
have you read it?
I've read the excerpts that were in the
yeah,
Sunday Times.
So have I, yeah.
And he seems, I mean, you know, completely happy to just dish dirt on everyone and
yeah.
talk about how many drugs he took and all that.
Yeah.
So it's probably quite a good read.
Yeah.
But he talks about meeting Madonna and he talks about meeting Lou Reed. Doesn't mention you.
No.
But he does talk about David Bowie.
Yeah.
And in it... He says, I won't do the whole story, but basically he talks about when he met him. And I think there's quite a lot of good stuff in this. David Bowie had been at my apartment to rehearse for a charity event we'd agreed to go. He got off the elevator. So he comes to his house. He got off the elevator. You get out of one, don't you?
Yeah.
Anyway, he got How'd
you get off with the elevator after the elevator said, I wish you hadn't asked me that, David.
He got off the elevator before he was crushed against the roof,
yeah.
held out a coffee for me and said, delivery boy.
Yeah.
He sat down on my
David
couch.
David being
and I took
funny.
Right, and I thought... So that immediately, because I think It's a normal thing to do to bring someone a coffee. He's just made it not very normal, hasn't he, by sort of pretending to be a delivery boy.
Well, David being funny, but also right. It's David being funny in that way, which often I think was to do with David being aware of being David Bowie.
Definitely.
So he's being like self-deprecating right. about, no, actually, obviously, right. it's David Bowie.
Also, delivery boys don't bring you coffee, do they?
No.
That's a pizza.
Yeah, I've never been brought coffee by a delivery boy.
So it's, I once had at a dinner, I'm not going to name them because that would be bad,
no.
with one of the most important media moguls in the world.
Rupert Murdoch.
Not him.
Another one.
I'm not going to say.
Don't really know any other ones.
I'm not going to say.
No.
Someone in Harvey his, someone in his family.
Someone in Rupert Murdoch's family. Yeah. James Murdoch.
I'm not going to say who he is. and he was really... There you are, I've said he. He yeah. was really friendly
yeah.
and really lovely. And we were at this dinner and he was being, you know, genuinely charming. So, to the extent that he said, when you're in New York, which is where he, you know, lives.
Yeah, there's quite a lot of clues going on here.
you should come around and bring your kids around.
Okay.
And I thought, well, that's really nice. Yeah, no, that would be lovely, you know. And he said, yeah, yeah, come round on a Friday night and we can have pizza and meatballs.
Mm.
Yeah.
Strange
and I thought, that's really nice and really... And you're being very sort of human and...
Yeah.
But that's not quite what humans do.
No, pizza and meatballs. Pizza and meatballs.
It's one or the other, isn't it?
I would say it's one or the other. It's also... Is he actually American, James Murdoch?
I didn't say it was James Murdoch.
This media mogul, is he actually American? He's got an American accent, he has, hasn't he? Because that's very American, isn't it? It's two very American things. I mean, even though obviously it isn't, it's sort of Italian.
Yeah.
But that's, you know.
It is.
You know what I mean? It sort of sounds like the.
I see what you mean. It's America, like New York, yeah.
And then you get a sub with meatballs
right.
in it.
Right.
Or you get a pizza.
Right.
Also, possibly meatballs on it.
But I thought someone who's being genuinely kind and nice, but doesn't live a normal life, so is doing the trap, you know, trying to say, this is, I know, I can be normal, and has almost got it right, but it's slightly.
Yeah.
Like the red wine with a fish in James Bond. It's just a little window.
I don't know what the red wine with a fish is.
When James Bond... Is it Dr. No? Or and he's on the train with... Someone will know this on Twitter. Yeah. With someone who's...
No,
James Bond
right.
is eating in the buffet car. You know all those 70s films where had buffet cars on trains? Very exciting.
Yeah.
They're eating together and we don't yet know this guy's a baddie, I think.
Yeah.
And then when the food comes, they order fish and he orders a glass of red wine and that's when James Bond knows there's something wrong with him.
But that's just snobbish, isn't it?
It's not only snobbish, it's very out of date.
One thing about Moby going around to David's apartment. Actually, no, it's in the bit I read, it's not David turning up at Moby's. He does turn up at his and Moby can't believe it.
Right.
But what's brilliant is he can't believe it. David Bowie turns up at his apartment. You may have another bit to read but this is what I remember. Yeah. And he's like, oh, I can't believe it. He's in my apartment. And I think he sings something.
Yeah, Hero. They start rehearsing.
Yeah, they start singing Hero. He's together. Like, blah, blah. What I love about it is he's like incredibly keen to let you know that he was awestruck then and he's still awestruck now. Then he gets invited to David's house and or apartment or whatever and there's like lots of fantastic people there. He's still really excited. But he has to tell you, and I think this is fantastic, that the vegan food he was served was a bit average.
That's exactly the bit. Yeah. So you've got exactly what you just said. There's Lou Reed there. Wearing a shimmering metal jacket, and he goes around. He says during dinner,
been a full metal jacket.
during dinner, we kept up a constant stream of chatter, except for Lou, who seemed content to eat and to drink his vodka and soda. Okay, we talked about. Imagine this conversation, man. This would be terrible. We talked about the war in Iraq, about our disdain and contempt for Republicans, about new movies. I mean, that's. I don't want to hear any of that. Do you? Do you want to
new
hear
movies? Is all right.
New movies, all right. About the cold.
The cold. Not but somebody who had a cold.
No, about the cold. About our new albums. About everything. And as you say, this is how he ends it. My vegan food was average, but I didn't care. I was dining with gods and goddesses on Olympus.
Well, you did care, you see.
Yeah, because you mentioned
it. Like, if you were literally... Let's imagine you were literally dining with gods and goddesses.
Right.
So Zeus is there and...
Aphrodite
and some kind of Hindu god, maybe.
Right, right.
You know, the elephant one. And Jesus, might as well throw him in.
Hang on,
and,
on Mount Olympus?
No, you're dining just generally. I'm trying to make
it... Oh, with gods and goddesses.
I'm trying to make it diverse. Right, so there's lots of different types, and you wouldn't really think about the food, would you?
If you
were really dining with gods,
you'd eat.
You might do because they're always certainly the Greek ones are always banqueting, aren't they? And actually, I suppose you might mention the food being average because it'd be quite surprising. Because particularly with the Greeks, you think like we'd all be like the nectar of the gods, and like you imagine that the grapes and the honey and the stuff that they ate was amazing,
Right.
And if it turned out to be average, you probably would mention it.
Yeah, I just think you probably, yes, I see what you mean.
But what I really mean, I think, is it's so fucking vegan. And I like vegans. My daughter's a vegan. I often think about becoming vegan myself. I totally think it's the right thing ethically.
Yeah.
Not a vegan.
Yeah.
Because I like sausages. However, it's very vegan.
Yes.
To be like, oh God, it was amazing. Yeah. The food was a bit average.
It's also an uncharitable thing to say, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's just unnecessary.
Well, who was cooking the food?
Well, in the thing, it says, David says, Iman and I will cook you...
specially nicely made vegan food.
Right, but that's not... they're not doing that. They've got a chef to do it, right? I guess.
Yeah,
so
guess.
Whoever the chef...
I mean, this is the 90s.
Yeah, so it would have
been... where veganism isn't quite as...
I mean, that's... Maybe it was quite average.
Developed, just, as it is now. I'm imagining some quite dry sort of vegan sausage and maybe potato that he had.
That kind of... yeah, so it does sound quite average now, you say.
Yeah.
But I was once in a restaurant and this guy sat next to me with two or three people. I could see, and they were sitting next to me, he was drinking the most extraordinary wine, like proper Chateau Lafite and sort of crazy stuff. And then they got to the end and they were drinking a Chateau Dequesne, which probably knows is sort of one of the most expensive dessert wines in the world. So looking, and at that point, he sort of caught our eye. Maybe he just could see us. And he said, would you like to try a bit?
Oh,
which
gosh.
I thought was just fantastic. Wow. What a lovely...
you must have been looking really...
no, I think, and
like,
I think the truth
I
is...
I want some of that.
As we were getting through our Jacob's Creek... it wasn't Jacob's Creek. I'm just trying to be relatable.
Yeah.
I probably were a bit more bold and we probably said... I probably said at one point, oh, that looks... I mean, I probably said something. But he graciously said, would you like a glass? Yeah. And everyone was sort of drinking this wine and he was got everyone enraptured on his table. And he handed, I think there were three of us, a glass each of this sweet wine. And it was extraordinary because it was absolutely undrinkable.
Right.
It was completely gone, oxidised.
Really?
It was absolutely undrinkable. And everyone at his table was... so we sort of had to say, how wonderful, it's absolutely delicious. And I thought, I definitely can't say
it's
not.
It's disgusting.
But I mean, it's unequivocally disgusting. It had just gone. It completely lost.
You could have said this is average.
I should have said it's average.
This is really average.
God's
Do you know what I've had Jacob's Creek with a Jacob's cream cracker? Probably, because wine and cheese. Some people have Jacob's Creek, probably have wine and cheese.
I think that might be a lot. That happens a lot.
Yeah, that's probably quite a lot.
Yeah.
But I just, like, when you said, as you started to say, we had Jacob's Creek, I thought you were going to say, we had Jacob's cream.
Right.
I thought, what, we had some crackers, but then it turned out to be...
they don't use cream in those crackers.
No,
they?
I don't really understand how they are cream-based.
Jacob's cream, but it's interesting, isn't it?
Do you think at one point
it had some cream?
Okay.
I'm going to look it up.
I don't think there's any cream.
I'm going to look it up.
This might be as far as you've ever gone. Jacob's cream crackers ingredients. What do you think? Do you think they have cream in them or they don't have cream in them?
The biggest ingredient will be.
Yeah, what will be the greatest ingredient?
Wheat.
Well, flour. Yeah.
Okay, flour.
Yeah,
flour.
What's the next one?
It's definitely not cream. I'm thinking salt.
Salt's in there.
It's not the second one?
It's vegetable oil.
Vegetable, really?
Yeah.
Okay, vegetable oil, then salt?
No. You know what? I think people like us going off on tangents, but I feel listeners might be just turning it off now.
I think they're shouting at their podcast saying emulsified salt.
Wheat bran, raising agent, barley and barley malt extract. But you're right, there's no cream. Which means that Jacob...
right.
Whoever he was,
right,
just said, let's try and make it sound luxurious, this cracker.
Right.
So we'll put in a luxurious ingredient, not actually in the cracker.
Family business started off in ladders. We did that. That went very well for us. And now we're going into... wasn't there Jacob's Ladder? What is Jacob's Ladder?
Jacob's Ladder is like,
what is that?
It's a film. But it refers to a kind of...
Is it a biblical thing?
Like an altered state of consciousness, I think.
Isn't Jacob's Ladder in the Bible?
It is in the Bible. Or, it's to heaven or something,
right,
isn't it?
Right, right.
Anyway, Bella's starting to despair. I get a sense that Bella's despairing.
But I think people... there. Back to the main question
of the
podcast. Yeah, I think people would have had Jacob's cream crackers with Jacob's cream wine. I think that definitely would have happened quite a bit.
I'd be surprised if that's never happened.
Yeah.
It'd be really quite surprising.
Take a swig and swallow a goldfish.
Well, no, yeah, but you'd have had some cheese as well.
Mm.
There's one bloke... I should get his name, actually. Yeah, I think it's... yes, it's Stephen Winters. So Stephen has complained quite a lot that we don't do any outros.
Okay.
And it sort of bothers him that we get to the end of the show and it just...
yes.
There's an advert that we don't get paid for.
Right, right.
And you suggested, in fact, we just put it into the last week's podcast, that we should always go out with Mark Bolan saying thank you for goodbye. I agree with that.
There's the only other one we could do, and this is seamless, isn't it, the way we're doing this. There's a very famous goodbye also from Bowie. We could do both.
Which one?
What do you think? Well...
not the one that... which one?
Well, it's... at the Hammersmith gig.
Oh, what? What, saying the whole thing about, like, when the last gig we'll ever do?
Like, yeah, but after my death,
yeah,
which he does, I think that's the encore.
Yeah, and people are shouting.
Which we should go into, yeah, because he gets really annoyed in that and so tells people to shut up. And,
oh, does he?
Yeah, yeah.
Does he? Can you play that?
It's really... I've always loved the... He says, bye-bye, we love you.
This is the end of my death, at the
end of the Hammersmith gig. But for years, to my friend Piers, who we haven't mentioned for a while, when we've signed off a conversation, we say what we think he says, really, which is, bub-eye, I love you. It's a very pronounced bub-eye.
Okay, so that's good. So I think, okay, let's play Thank You for Goodbye. Yeah. Here it is.
Thank you for goodbye.
So one would assume that's the archetype. That who can beat that?
Who can beat
as
that?
As a sign-off. Well, yeah. Maybe this is it. I've never heard this before.
So you'll probably remember it when you hear it, and then this is him saying goodbye at the end of Ziggy Stardust and the Spiders from Mars film concert.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye, we love you.
I love that.
That's it?
Yeah, that's it.
He doesn't say bye-bye.
He does.
He says bye-bye.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye, we love you.
Bye-bye. You just say bye-bye.
It sounds a bit more, but it's slightly... There's character to that bye-bye.
Bye-bye. It's bye-bye, we love you.
But it's very un-rockstar-like.
Bye-bye, we love you.
Bye-bye. Do you think? I think it's very un-rockstar-like. He's Ziggy Stardust. He's at the height of his powers. Yeah. Bye-bye.
Yeah, I mean, you built it up.
Yeah, I built it up.
Let's be honest. It's not knocking Thank You for Goodbye off its perch.
Let's
a sign-off.
Play that again, then. Yeah. Let's let Mark say goodbye.
Let's go on that.
Thank you for goodbye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.